Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Coming out of that first break, that's Charles Arbuckle over in the Charlotte area. Always love talking football with him. Top of hour two, Gator Dave will be with us. They're coming off a victory over Vanderbilt, and that game was pretty one-sided, which is what you would anticipate when they play. And hour three, about 20 minutes in, will be Griff. That's Mike Griffith with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. That'd be Griff a little later. We are in the Strike and Spare Studios, the kiosk location, Wilco location. I've been in this location for about, I don't remember the first year, but about 5 or 6 years. This studio, this mobile studio thing has been a thing for several years on the show. I love it. Love it. Wouldn't have it any other way. Absolutely love it. The F&M Bank hotline, if you'd like to dial us up, 615-844-5600. Yeah, I was talking. You might have seen this on Twitter. After the show on Monday, I had a doctor's appointment, and I was there in Brentwood, which is basically the same area. Franklin, Brentwood are basically synonymous. And went in there just for a routine thing. Nothing big. Of course, you had all the mask stuff, so I had a mask on for the first time in a while. And anyways, got my blood pressure checked, and it was good. I thought it would not be good because of the trauma of the show yesterday and the call we got from Jeff and the bro. I thought, man, I'm going to go in here and they're going to just park me in the hospital. They're just going to shackle me down and say, you can't leave. We don't need you leaving here, Bill. We need to see to you a little bit. No, all was good. Yeah, all was very good at the doctor. Dr. Vargas, nice guy. No, really, really nice guy. He was telling me about how they were out Saturday night eating, he and his wife and his kids, and they were explaining to the younger daughter, the rules of football, very young daughter, and she was intrigued by it, and they were going over some of the rules in the A&M Alabama game, which obviously turned out to be a game that very few people anticipated happening, the outcome of that ball game. Oh, Johnny Vegas pulled something up. I was looking at it earlier. And I still, usually by Tuesday morning, I look at the numbers. I have not looked at the numbers yet for the weekend coming up, the Saturday, week 7 coming up of college football. But here's Brad's numbers right now, handicapping potential games. And obviously Ohio State and Michigan, that's not a potential game. That is a game. Ohio State right now would be favored by 6.5 over Michigan. Ohio State would be favored by 8 over Iowa, if that is indeed the Big Ten championship game. Also, just a couple of potentials here. Ohio State would be favored by 5.5 over Cincinnati. I am a big fan of Cincinnati and what Luke Fickle has done. Of course, they went into Notre Dame, won that game fair and square. Ohio State would beat Cincinnati more significantly than -5.5. I would have to, I'm not a big bettor, as you know. I would probably think about that one right there. Ohio State would beat them worse than that. Georgia -7 over Ohio State. Georgia, and I just want to use the term again, maybe, perhaps, possibly, the most complete football team, the most consistent team we've got today. Now, today is not the day you crown the Natty. I understand that. But all we have is our measurement today. We do not have the future scores. That's just the way this works, y'all. If they can ever get us to where we can peek into the future at scores, maybe we can go there. But they look, both sides of the line of scrimmage, more complete than anybody else. And they're ranked number one, accordingly. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't look at the rankings. I can't tell you who's 3 to 8 to 12 to 18. I don't. It's not interesting to me. It's minutia to me. But I think Georgia being ranked number one is very, I think it's very appropriate. Steven, this morning, checking in, he's a big Georgia fan, says, Bill, dog haters from around the country keep jumping on different bandwagons, hoping Georgia stumbles. Here's the thing about it, Georgia fans. Listen to me. Haters, that's a compliment to you. Haters don't hate insignificance. Haters hate prosperity. Haters hate somebody who's winning big. Haters hate somebody who's getting a lot of publicity. So the more haters you have, Georgia, it's probably the better that you're doing. So relish it. Embrace the haters. That's the way life is. I mean, when you're successful, I don't care what you're doing, whether it's your football team or whether it's your business. When you are doing well, the haters don't like it, because they are miserable and they somehow think it makes them feel better to hate on you. They actually think that if they hate on you, it brings you down. You can't let that bring you down. That's a compliment. Yeah, that's a compliment. Earlier, Tug, who is down in Mount Dora, Florida, said, Bill, I introduced my son to the show yesterday, and it was about when Jeff in the Burrow dialed in. So I sent him an apology. And he said, no, Bill, don't apologize. We'll always listen to the show. I thought I owed it to him to apologize for that, even though it was real. Yeah, it was real. Josh up in London, Ohio. Bill, no need to ban Jeff in the Borough. That would seem a bit hypocritical when complaining about big tech censorship. I am not leaning to banning him. I've had a lot of people tell me to, but I don't think that would be. I'm with Josh. We brought this up yesterday. If we are truly anti-cancel culture, by the way, John Gruden got canceled last night, and censorship of free speech, which we are absolutely against that, then it would not be right to ban Jeff in the Borough. We would be joining the group that we do not identify with. Seriously, did I like what he said? No, I did not like what he said. But should I protect his right to say it, despite strong disagreement? And the answer is yes. So I am Now, I may look, I don't take his call every time he calls. Sometimes you folks don't know that, but if I'm on to something and I can't allocate the time, he's not getting in just any time he wants. He gets in when I want him to, if he's on hold. But yeah, I'm not into that. And Will over in Arkansas first brought that up yesterday. Said, Bill, I want you to think about it now. Now, I was playing a little bit about the banning with him yesterday. But, Josh, I think you put it well there. He goes on to say, Bill, Georgia's defense versus the Buckeye offense that isn't firing on all cylinders yet. That would be a hell of a game. We may very well get that game. Yeah, there's a strong possibility somewhere in there we get that matchup. Yeah, somewhere in there we get that matchup. Frankie, Bill, who still controls their destiny in the SEC West? Well, Alabama's got the one loss. You got to remember, A&M, even though they've got the head-to-head, they've got two losses. So if Alabama wins out, then I still think, look, Alabama is still the team to beat in the SEC West. I'll bring back a thought. Now, if they lose another game, there's bigger problems than we think. But I wouldn't anticipate that. Something we brought up yesterday. Look, Nick, as good as he's been, this has been an all-time type run that Alabama's on. I mean, a historical run that they're on. But only two of those teams have been undefeated. That was 09 early on, and then last year, 20. All those other Natties had a loss somewhere in there. Now, you can't lose another one, and they can't lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game. If indeed that's going to be the game, and I still think that's going to be the game in the SEC. Brock Westfall, Bill, anybody see Chucky back in Knoxville yet? That's a good point. When do those rumors start? Hey, Bill, Gruden's got properties held on to all these years up in East Tennessee. I think he and the missus are moving back up there. Of course, he was just a GA at Tennessee. That was it. She was a cheerleader there. Bill, I hear Heupel might bring him on. Yeah, Chucky's coming back. Chucky's wanting this job. That's the rumor that I'm here for. Alan says, Bill, you're right. I'm anti-ban, but he's a fool. Yeah, I mean, basically what we're doing is we're giving Jeff the right to act like a fool. We're not banning it. Just saying. Fetty K up in Annapolis, Maryland. Come on, Bill. Keep Jeff in the borough. Let's be forgiving. No, I'm not banning him. Yeah, I'm not banning him. I've had a day to think about it. Probably shouldn't even have brought it up. Charles Arbuckle is next on this Tuesday edition. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. A little bit of fog out here in certain areas. Just give yourself extra time as traffic picks up on I-40 eastbound coming out of Hickman County through Dixon County, where there's lots of radar waiting for you around 840. They're coming down on the interstate on I-40. 8th Avenue at Korean Veterans Boulevard, that wreck is in its clearing stages. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check out all their flavors at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Golfers, it's time to tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops for the Callaway Apex Trade-In event running now through October 31st. Bring in any of your old clubs and receive a 50% trade-in bonus towards new Apex 21 irons. The Apex, Apex Pro, and Apex DCB are designed with artificial intelligence for faster ball speeds. Swing by and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Greg Pogue back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just inside the Fifth Avenue entrance across from the Music City Center. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh locally roasted coffee, classic handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods. Open every morning at 7 until 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon on Sunday, Bongo Java adds to that great Omni Nashville Hotel experience.
Hey, this is George Plaster. As some of you know, I've set up the Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night presented by Gish Sherwood and Friends Monday night, November the 29th at Hermitage Strike and Spare. Proceeds from the event will benefit Last Minute Toy Store and the Martha O'Brien Center. Those are two charities that I am really excited about. Here's the way you can get involved. Simply go to celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. Again, celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. There will be a 6 to 8 p.m. shift and an 8 to 10 p.m. shift. You select which shift you want to be in. Each foursome will play two games, and each foursome will be paired with two different sports celebrities. Cost is $200 per person or $800 for a foursome. I'm not promising great bowling, but what I am promising is a fun event you will never forget.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
I'm Craig Ladd.
And I'm Coach Bubba Spears.
Listen each Saturday morning at 8 for the 10th season of Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb.
Every Saturday, we will get you up to date on all the scores, shine a spotlight on one of the area's top players and his coach, feature a Prep Legend of the Week, and get you set for the upcoming week.
Prep Football Talk, also brought to you by the U.S. Army, Gary Force Acura, Tim Leeper Roofing, Valentino's Restaurante, Goggin Cold Hall, the Nashville Scene, and Sam's Sports Grill and Sam's Place.
That's every Saturday morning at 8 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The home of commitments and other stuff. The Bill King Show.
Joe's Arbuckle with us Tuesdays, and Buck, I am trying to figure out what planet we're living on these days. It might not be the same planet we used to live on, because A&M couldn't move the ball against Colorado. A&M lost to Mississippi State. Now, I'm not trying to be demeaning to Mississippi State. They're a pretty good football team, but they're not Alabama. And then A&M plays Alabama and moves it like they're playing Alabama Tech, not the University of Alabama. What's going on around here?
The stars were aligned for Jimbo. You knew that A&M Buck team was pretty good.
Go ahead, Buck. We didn't have you pulled up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the stars were aligned. And I also think this, it just, you know, that's the funny thing about football. You knew A&M had a good team. You knew they could play. They just weren't playing well early, or, you know, when we saw them in those games you just mentioned. But for whatever reason, the same thing that Florida did, they were able to execute and got off to a good start early. And it just seemed like that was the A&M team I think everybody was waiting to see. Is that going to be what they play like the rest of the year? I have no idea, because we watched this year with teams like North Carolina. We've watched it consistently in places where you're thinking, hey, this team is supposed to be pretty good, and they don't play well. But for whatever reason, on that night, A&M was ready to play, and they took it to Alabama. And, you know, when you're able to do that on the line of scrimmage on both sides and play consistent and then make some big plays on the outside, that's what gives you a chance. And it's just interesting to see. This year is one of those years that's just crazy as all get out, and I think we need to be prepared for it. Georgia seems to be the team that won't get beat, but my concern with Georgia all year has been, when they have to throw, are they going to be able to? They haven't been forced to yet, and maybe that happens at some point this year. But I think with Bama, it was just one of those perfect storms. And Jimbo, we know he can coach. He got his guys ready to play, and they played some great football.
Yeah, nobody's really forced Georgia to do anything other than what they want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
No duress yet for them.
No. And that's, you know, I think that's the thing with football this year. You usually see it and teams get challenged. And every year it happens. But I don't think we anticipated Bama getting beat by A&M this year, at least with what we saw from A&M so far. Coming into the season, I think you had a real good thought that, well, you know, maybe this is the year that A&M can make some things happen. But from watching Bama the week before, the way they just throttled Mississippi, is it that sometimes you get a little overconfident? Yeah, maybe. You know, you start thinking, yeah, well, look what we did here. You know, I mean, and I'm sure Nick and his staff and all these coaching staffs being around 18 to 22-year-old guys, at a certain point, you start kind of you can sense when they're not playing at their best. They'll tell you they are, but you can watch it and you can see it. For whatever reason, that wasn't the best that Alabama put out on the field, and it was the best at A&M. So you don't want to take anything away from them, but you also have to know, okay, you saw it with Florida. Florida couldn't finish it. A&M was able to. So what are they going to do next? And then with Georgia, that's a way for Kirby to say, look, guys, look what happened. You know, every other staff that's playing well and undefeated at this point can point to the Bama game and say, do you want that or do you want this?
Buck, we had games going on together, and I was dizzy watching them. I was so excited. The Arkansas Ole Miss game and the Red River Shootout, and both of those games were riveting.
Yeah, I will say I watched more of the Red River Shootout than I did
the
Arkansas Ole Miss. But anytime I turned back between them, it was like, oh, man, what did I miss? You know, so having to go back and watch them themselves, both of those games were just crazy. The thing with the Texas game is that you finally – you know, Sark and his staff look like they finally started putting it together. You're up by 21. You can't lose that game. But how many times have we seen that rivalry game where it happens like that, where, you know, you have something that changes, a big, you know, kickoff return, you know, fumble, or a big defensive play that turns the other way. I mean, in the early part of the game, it looked like Texas was going to score 70 either way they were going. But I love how Oklahoma settled down. Kennedy Brooks, I don't know. I mean, I've listened to a lot of people talk about Oklahoma, and they've talked about the quarterback. But Kennedy Brooks, man, you know, Bijan Robinson was the star in the first half, and then Kennedy Brooks really played well. And it just makes you think, why didn't they keep going to the run game when they had the lead, you know? Sometimes you get enamored with how well you are as a play caller that you forget the run game can be your best friend. And I think part of that, they got away from the run game, and Oklahoma started really wearing out that defensive line, and they did a nice job of just coming back and battling. And I think the same thing with the Ole Miss Arkansas game. You know, it was just, that was a back and forth track meet. It's going back and forth. And it was funny because, you know, You see these two teams, Oklahoma and Texas, and you see why the SEC wants them. And then you watch an Ole Miss Arkansas game, and you're like, man, you imagine two more teams like that can go up-tempo, that can get down the field. Maybe it's not all about the defense anymore. Sometimes it's going to be some offensive outputs that you're going to see. But, boy, both of those games at the same time, Bill, it was crazy.
Buck, how would you handle Spencer Rattler right now?
That's a tough one for Lincoln Riley, because, you know, the native Arizona kid, he hadn't played well this year, right? I think he's given him every opportunity. I would say that him coming in and doing the two-point conversion was good. I basically sit down with him and say, you know, this is where we are right now. This is what we have to do. This, you know, Caleb has the hot hand. We have to go with him at this point. But I want to keep you engaged. I want you locked in, because you never know what can happen. We may need to come back to you. And I think you could see this coming a few weeks ago, but they kept giving him those opportunities. And I think they did a nice job of not listening to the fans when they were calling for this young man. But now that he's gotten in the game and he's gone, you know, 66 into the house, he's played really well. That's nice, but Texas wasn't prepared for him. So let's see if he can continue to do it. I think if you're Lincoln and that staff, you lay out all the things that are going to happen, because, you know, if it works out for Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler's probably out of there, right? But you got to do everything you can to keep him engaged this season, just in the event that you need to come back to him, or that maybe this sitting for a little bit will help him reset his mind and get him back to playing at the level that he was last year and what we expected out of him. He hadn't played all that particularly well consistently this season, but you got to be able to spin it to him and make sure that he understands, you know, this is where we are and at this moment in time, but we still want to be able to have you as a key part of the team. I mean, the same thing that Nick was able to do with Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen eventually transferred, but it still worked out for him because they needed him to play, and they needed him on that team. So I think that's the page out of the book that you take from Nick. How did he have that conversation? What did he do? And making sure that you do it to do everything you can to keep him around and keep him a part of your team.
Tell us, Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. How does Kentucky match up with Georgia in this game coming up?
You know, it's interesting. Anytime you look at Kentucky, and now that we've seen them consistently play, you can say, well, Georgia has all the different advantages. But I don't know. I mean, this Kentucky team, they're playing well on both sides of the ball. They're not making mistakes. And they just seem – they believe in themselves. I don't think what we can quantify is mentally how tough they are right now, right, Bill? Yeah. And that's the part for me that, yeah, I can say, if I look on paper, is Kentucky's defense better than Georgia? No, I can't say that. Are they playing good football? Are they playing hard physical football? Yes. So I think for me, the one thing that I look at from this and when I want to watch this game, is how mentally tough they're going to stay. Because there's going to be some adversity early in the game for them. And how do they handle that? Because if you look at on paper, Georgia should be the team that should beat them. But I don't think that's the case this year. I don't think it's going to be that easy for Georgia. And I think that's what Kentucky is banking on. And I think that's what, if I'm Stoops, you know, I'm talking about how the adversity comes. How do we handle it? How do we manage it? Because it's going to happen. And they, you know, this year, that's another team that, you know, they play well, especially in this last little stretch. But there's been some games where you think, okay, that's a chance for them to lose. Now they're at a point where they're playing some really good football. How do you get them to be prepared for whatever adversity? Because to me, it's been their mental fortitude and them being able to just, like, exercise any demons with any of the teams that come in there. They've been able to do that, and that's why – I mean, this is going to be a game to watch, because I think Georgia can be tested if Kentucky continues to play like they were playing the last few weeks.
How about Lane Kiffin heading back to Rocky Top this Saturday?
I'm going to tell you now, the Tennessee team is playing some pretty good football at this time, and their fans, I know – is he giving out popcorn there, or are they going to give out? Are they going to have popcorn for free since he's coming into town? Hey, man, that offense is explosive. The only time they really didn't play was against Bama. Tennessee is starting to really look like, okay, we finally starting to figure some things out. Maybe we're not the best team, but we know how to play. And I thought Lane's going to have some things that he says that's going to rile that crowd up, even if it's something benign, right? They're looking for something from him. So, you know, this week is an interesting week, because as good as the games were last week, I think this is a sneaky good week, and we got to be prepared for that one. And that nobody would like to win that more than the Tennessee fans, no matter, especially if Lane's coming in and all the things that have happened and the history there between those two, between that fan base and that coach.
Charles Arbuckle with us, joins us every Tuesday. Your thoughts on how the Buckeyes seem to be now playing?
They seem to finally now have hit their stride, right?
Yeah.
We had been, you know, we had said, well, you know, Stroud hadn't played well. You know, they hadn't done this on defense. I'm not hearing that anymore. And it just, it seems like they're finally now, the explosiveness on the offense is there. Their defense on the back end is really starting to play better, which was a concern early in the year. But I think now that, they've kind of righted the ship, now we can start seeing, okay, Ohio State's starting to play better. Michigan, you know, not always blowing people out. Last week, Nebraska had a chance, but they found a way to win. They're undefeated. You know, could this be the year that Michigan finally has a chance against Ohio State? We'll see. But still with that speed and explosiveness, you know, I think Ohio State, their folks probably feel really good about the matchup. So I think we're starting to see that come together, so to speak. Michigan has a bye week. They get a chance to get healed, Ohio State. I'm going to tell you the one team that we don't talk enough about out of the Big Ten right now is Michigan State.
Yeah,
State's playing some good football. Mel Tucker, his team was supposed to be, what, eighth or ninth in the conference? I mean, they were not picked to finish all that high. And you talk about a team that's just he's done what he did at Colorado. I mean, he's come in and he's, like, got his guys believing. They play hard. And that's going to be interesting when Michigan and Michigan State play, even before you get to Ohio State. So Ohio State's finally starting to figure out who they are, and I think that's going to make it tough for everybody they play on their schedule.
Buck, the running back for Michigan State, and I told this audience this many times, Kenneth Walker, who now is, I think, somewhere in the top four in the Heisman, you know, balloting or – you know, the polling that's done out there. He's a West Tennessee kid, went to Wake Forest and transferred up there, but I barely remember him in recruiting. And, man, he may be the best running back in America right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's he's kind of like nobody really knows, but anytime you turn on the highlights, you see a highlight of Kenneth Walker, or you see he put up 200-plus. He keeps doing it every single week, right?
Right.
And so – he has played some really good football, and I think that's why this show is so good, because you can help people understand where he came from, and then you watch, and then people say, why is he here? You know, why is he at Michigan State?
Right.
He has played some great football this year, and I think Mel Tucker and that staff has used him very well, and that's why they're playing some good ball and beating people consistently this year.
Buck, we will see you next Tuesday, sir. Have a good one.
All right, Bill. You have a good one, man. Good talking to you.
Charles Arbuckle every Tuesday. I mean every Tuesday. Playing portion, non-playing portion. Does not matter. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's looking good right now as we check it out live here. I-40 right through the heart of downtown here at the Montgomery and Broadway. Traffic's on the increase out of Mount Juliet right now through Wilson County in general. Down the interstate there on I-40 headed into Nashville. Wreck being dispatched through the fire department. 34th at Batavia Street. That's a wreck involving injuries. It's still a little bit tied up there at 8th and Korean Veterans Boulevard on that crash. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Easy Moving and Transitions is on the air reminding all drivers to save the text message for a time when it's not going to cause an accident. Put down your cell phones and never text and drive. This safety message is brought to you by Easy Moving and Transitions. For all your moving and packing service needs, call the pros at 877-870-2121. That's 877-870-2121. Easy Moving and Transitions. On the air reminding you to never text and drive. They're professionals who care.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
And now, Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, our premier full-service exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, backed by over 20 years of experience and an A-plus rating on the BBB. For residential or commercial, roofing, siding, or gutters, call today at 615-788-5031 and online at AbsoluteContractingPlus.com. Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
We have more Jeffs than you do. It's the Bill King Show.
Gator Day, top of the hour, Griff, a little later, hour three. Got some more sad news for you. And you recall, we tweeted about it, we mentioned it on the show, Georgia Dog down on the Emerald Coast, his brother died over the weekend, so asking for your prayers there. We have some more news similar. Now, Georgia Dog's situation with his brother was COVID. This case isn't. Jordan, who is just out of college, Purdue, sent me an email yesterday in the afternoon and said, Bill, shockingly, my dad has passed away. And it was unexpected. I did not ask about any other information, but he said, Bill, I just wanted to tell you this. And it was really sad. Number one, his dad had sent me an email within the last couple of months because he listened to the show too, like Jordan up in West Lafayette. And he was just talking about how proud he was of his son and listening to him on the show and all that. And just it warmed his heart, made him happy. And it was a real touching email. Then I get an email yesterday from Jordan said, Bill, my dad unexpectedly passed away. I asked him if it's okay if I can mention this on the show, and he said yes. He gave me permission. So, again, add to your prayers, Jordan. He's literally last spring, he graduated Purdue. He loves Purdue. He loves college football. He listens to the show when he can. He keeps up. He knows his stuff. This guy really knows his stuff. And anytime you lose a parent, it's tough. But he's young. I mean, that's a young man right out of school, and that's a very, very sad story. He'll be okay, but that's an email I got yesterday from Jordan and West Lafayette, and he said also he's praying for Georgia Dog and his family. So add Jordan to your list, everybody. Yeah, add him to your list. That's some upsetting news. Alan in Tampa says, Bill, remember the choke in the doke? That was 1994. Florida led Florida State 31-3 going into the fourth quarter. And the game ended up a 31-31 tie. We still, in 94, did not have the tiebreaker or the overtime system. And when did that happen? 96? I think somebody checked me. I looked that up about 3 weeks ago, I think. I think it was 96, just a couple of years later. But in 94, we didn't. So, four touchdowns by Florida State in the fourth quarter to tie that up. 28 unanswered points to tie it up 31 apiece. Thus, the term, the name of that game, the choke in the doke. Karen, referring to Jeff in the borough, says, then if celebrating somebody's death doesn't warrant a ban, then does anything go now? No, I wouldn't say anything goes. And yes, grave dancing is despicable. It is. I can't disagree with that, but I cannot. I mean, if somebody called in here and said something racially, then you're not coming back. I'm not saying anything goes, and grave dancing is despicable. I don't know where I'd put it on the list. I really don't have a list. I'm just saying I'm doing my best not to join the side that I don't like at all, and that's the cancel culture, okay? We're trying to balance this thing here. And grave dancing on Twitter is very common. It's gross. It's despicable. I have no idea how somebody would take happiness in a random death. Now, if it's somebody like Bin Laden, right, a known terrorist, I'm not going to grave dance, but I will tell you, in that case, I'm glad he's no longer here, right? So I'm look, there's no clear-cut answer here to this, but I just going to hold back for now. Coach's hot seat. Bill, Georgia's schedule so far would be easy for a flag football team. They get a pretty decent Kentucky team in Athens, then a bye, then it's the Georgia Gators week in Jacksonville. He says the Vols game at Neyland may be one of the toughest left on the Dogs' schedule. Yeah, but Tennessee doesn't have the personnel to ultimately fight back in that game. I'd be shocked. Tennessee's playing better. No. I will acknowledge that, but that Georgia's player for player, Georgia is a significant superior roster to Tennessee. Jim down in Jupiter. Bill, keep Jeff in the borough. He's a bum, but it's a good lesson not to cancel everything. Hawkeye Jason, Bill, Vegas had the season total for Sparty at 4. Amazing job by Mel Tucker, staff, and the players. That's pretty good. Let's take a break. Top of the hour, Gator Dave will be with us. We are presented every day by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Third morning, a little bit of fog out here, but nothing like the last couple of mornings. Traffic still moving down through Mount Juliet right now as we check it out live on I-40 westbound. Watching that traffic build out of Wilson County through Davidson County. Latest crash is over in Hermitage, 3800 block at Dodson Chapel Road. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg is going on now through the end of the month. You still got time. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Simple Green is perfect for making your auto, RV, cycling, boating, and other sporting equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
SEC football tomorrow, Tennessee at home against South Carolina, the Volunteers a 10.5-point favorite, the over-under 56.5. In Gainesville, Vanderbilt facing number 20 Florida, the Commodores a 38.5-point underdog, the over-under 59.5. NFL, the Titans on the road against the Jaguars Sunday afternoon, Tennessee a 4.5-point road favorite, the over-under 48.5. ALDS Game 2, the White Sox plus 107 money line at the Astros at minus 117, the Red Sox plus 118 at the Rays at minus 128, the NLDS underway, the Braves plus 138, at the Brewers at minus 148, the Dodgers minus 118, at the Giants at plus 108. For VSiN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny, highs today around 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, 61. Saturday, sunshine, highs 83. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 64. Sunshine for Sunday, highs near 85 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, this is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 615-844-5600.
Jeff in Fultondale, Alabama. Big Georgia fan says, Bill, and it's a tweet, and it's a list of players who have missed games for Georgia or haven't played. Some have played, but a long list. Well, these names I'm looking at haven't, but George Pickens, Dominic Blaylock, Eric Gilbert, Tate Ratledge. Now, Tate Ratledge started the season, hurt his foot, and he's out. He's out for the year, they said. Kenny McIntosh, running back. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Johnny Vegas on the Emerald Coast. Bill, I had a thought. When was the last time Nick faced a true air raid offense? The D could get torched if Will Rogers has a good day. I would not want to be the team to play Alabama after a loss with Nick Saban as the head coach. Now if Alabama struggles in this game, and Mississippi State's been pretty solid this year. I'm not trying to downgrade them at all, but they're not Alabama, obviously. But if Alabama struggles in this game, then they've got bigger problems than we thought going into this year. Josh up in London, Ohio. Actually, Josh is working over in Clarksville, Tennessee. Said, Bill, LSU could call Gruden. Gruden just got canceled last night. He's gone. Blake Ruffino replied to that tweet, how much weed have you smoked this morning, Josh? Josh says, none. I'm working. Aliquippa Bob, Bill, thoughts, sympathies, prayers to Jordan and his family. Jim in Jupiter says the same thing. John down in Alabama, Bill, I'm not smart enough to say what I'd like to say, but to Jordan, I'm truly sorry. I will watch every Purdue game I can possibly watch the rest of the season. Jim in Jupiter, Bill, Karen quit the show. Why is she tweeting the show? Nah, she didn't quit. She threatened to quit a couple times. Here's another one from Karen just right after that. Bill, I guess if it's not somebody that you love that died, then Jeff and the Burrows celebrated. So I'm telling you, I don't have all the answers to this. I don't have all the answers. I'm not saying anything goes, but I'm trying to be not cancel culture oriented. Sam Dog. Bill, isn't this the week we start looking at bowl eligibility? Is it still a thing? 6-0 teams, 5-1 teams, we know already. Will LSU get three more wins? Missouri, Tennessee, not a given. I think Tennessee will get to 6. If they get to 7, they will have to beat either Ole Miss or Kentucky. Because they're not going to beat Georgia or Alabama on their schedule. And they're sitting there at 4 wins right now. There's 2 that you can give them. And then there's several that you don't know, or there's several that you know they're going to lose. Noel Cav up in Chicago says, Bill, all that Jeff and the Burrow did was show what kind of character he has and how much hate he has in his heart. But you're right for not banning him. Yeah, Jeff and the Burrow's an angry guy. How do you come back after a really impressive Kentucky win over LSU and you're angry? Why would that cause anger? I agree. Johnny Vegas, Bill, looks like Spencer Rattler could be another rehab assignment for Sonny Dykes at SMU. Shane Bouchel, Tanner Mordecai, and now Spencer Rattler. Tell you what, Sonny Dykes is doing a really good job there. He is. If Caleb Williams hangs on, and has Lincoln Riley even said yet what he's doing? Has he even said positively, I'm sticking with Caleb Williams when we trot out there next? I haven't seen that. And maybe he has. Maybe he has. Maybe I just missed it. You folks correct me. Bean count me now if I've got that one. If I didn't identify what's already been said there. You would think Caleb Williams would be the quarterback considering the way they used him last week when they needed to. Spencer Rattler has not played consistently well this year. Now, Buck just brought this up. If it's Caleb Williams and it stays Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler I wouldn't think is going to hang around long. He's not there because Norman, Oklahoma is where he wants to live the rest of his life. Now, nothing wrong with Norman, Oklahoma. I'm just saying he's there because it's a business decision. They pump out quarterbacks and they put them in the NFL. He's there for all business. Karen also pointed out earlier, there's an article by Ross Dellinger with the SI and NIL agreements for Spencer Rattler, which is a couple of hundred grand, right? If not more. Same with Derek King. Derek King's out for the year. How are these NIL agreements worth it? Now, I'm not saying all of them, but got one guy not playing, Garrett King, and another one who's not playing well at all. Anyways, top of the hour coming up, and that means Gator Dave on a Tuesday. Omni, Nashville Hotel.